Invite you to open your Bible with me today to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. I want our congregation to know that I would never try to embarrass anybody, but I want the teenage boys who have been talking during the song service to know that if it keeps it up during the sermon, I will call you down by name. And I'll ask your dad to go sit with you. It is disrespectful to the Lord to carry on a running conversation while we try to sing the praises of God. And if it continues during the sermon, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just trying to help you. We're not talking about elementary age children. I want you to think with me this morning about this subject, trusting God. Trusting God. Perhaps nothing reveals a person's trust in God or a person's lack of trust in God more than how that person uses or misuses money. The Lord Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus went on to say that no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. But Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and money. Now we all know that money speaks. Money speaks and money tells us a lot about our trust in God. As Jesus made quite clear, if you trust in God, you don't have to trust in money. But if you trust in money, you can't at the same time trust in God. And our text for our consideration this morning, in the message this morning, found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, is one of the greatest accounts in all of the Scripture of a person's choosing to trust in God. It's the story of what's often called the widow's mite. And I invite you to follow along in this portion of God's Word as I read, beginning in verse 41, Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 41, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had, to live on." This is one of the most poignant and touching scenes and stories in all the Bible. This poor widow, who gave all that she had, and was commended by the Lord Jesus for her generosity. Around the world, we know the story, the widow's mite. Nobody knows her name. She's an unsung heroine. Applauded by the Lord Jesus, but still anonymous. And yet this woman, this poor widow, is the focal point of this story. So this morning, as we think about this poor widow's trust in God, how she trusted the Lord God to take care of her, I want you to think with me along two lines of thought, two truths for our consideration today. The first truth is this: Jesus sees our giving. Jesus sees our giving. When we give tithes and offerings, the Lord God sees what we give, but He sees more than what we give. He sees the attitude in our hearts with which we make our tithes and offerings. Look again in verses 41 and 42. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, that is in the temple area, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and she put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Now, had you and I lived in the first century world in which this event took place, we would know that this took place in the court of the women, because there was this poor widow there who gave, and women were limited in how much access they had to the temple the temple area. Men and women could go into the court of women. And so in the court of women were these offering receptacles, a treasure chest, if you please. And according to the Mishnah, which is an ancient document regarding events and circumstances and customs, religious customs in those days, according to the Mishnah, there were 13 of these receptacles where people would give their offering. And they were shaped like a trumpet with a small mouth, and it would go down to the bottom. It would spread out like a trumpet, placed vertically on the floor. And each one had an inscription on it for a different kind of offering. Unlike the way we receive offerings today, where the offering plate is passed from person to person, from pew to pew, as you went to worship in those days, you would go to this particular part of the temple, and there you would choose which one of these 13 receptacles you wanted to place your offering in, and you would just drop it in. And each one had an inscription on it. One had an inscription for new shekel dues, one for old shekel dues, another for bird offerings, another for frankincense, another for young birds for whole offerings, another for gold for the mercy seat, and another for wood. In addition to those seven, there were six that were labeled free will offerings. Now, the offerings that were received in this way were used to support the work of the priesthood, plus some of the offerings were used for the poor, to help the poor. So it was in that kind of setting that this event took place. In verse 41, we read that when Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were to be given, he watched the crowd. As the people came, as they crowded in to make their offering to the Lord, Jesus watched the crowd. He observed what was taking place. He took it all in. And the scripture says that there were some rich people there that day who gave. And I want you to notice in this second sentence in verse 41 that the rich were described as throwing in large offerings. When the rich would come to give, they would do it in such a way as to be seen. They would take their shekel, their gold or silver coin or whatever it might be, and throw it in so that it would make a loud sound as it went into the receptacle. They gave to be seen by others. Jesus saw that. He observed it. He studied it. And it was obvious that Jesus was appraising the situation. Now, contrast what Jesus observed as the rich threw in large amounts with the poor widow in verse 42. When the poor widow came, it doesn't say she threw in her offering, it says she put it in. Just to be unobserved, secretly, if you please, not to draw notice to herself. She put in two very small copper coins. The word there is lepti. It was the smallest coin in circulation during this time. A lepti was just a thin copper coin. As our scripture says, it was worth only a fraction of a penny. It was not very much. Notice this. This is striking to me. She gave both of them. Now we learn in verses 43 and 44 that's all she had, but she gave not one, but she gave both. She gave all that she had. And Jesus observed all of this. And so you have, on one hand, you have the rich people who are giving to be seen by others for the applause of men. And on the other hand, you have this poor widow who just sort of blends in the scenery there. She kind of comes and goes, and I suppose nobody even saw her except Jesus. I mean, they didn't notice this poor widow. But Jesus saw her. He observed the scene. And he noticed. As we'll see in verses 43 and 44, Jesus spoke to the issue and he gave his evaluation of what took place there. But what we see here in this passage is this poor widow was trusting God. And Jesus saw her faith expressed by what she gave. In the same way, Jesus sees what you and I give. Whether it's a small amount or a large amount, Jesus sees what we give. But also, Jesus sees the attitude with which we give it. You see, Jesus could see the attitude of the wealthy people who gave a great deal. at least as the world measures well. But Jesus also saw the attitude, the heart attitude of this poor widow. The Bible tells us that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks into the heart. And you and I can never deceive God. God's not mocked. He's not going to be mocked. God can't be deceived. God is all-knowing and all-wise, and God not only sees what we give, but God sees the motive, the intent with which we give it. Is it given grudgingly, or is it given cheerfully? I think it's very likely that the crowds who were gathered this day in the court of the women were probably impressed with the large gifts given by the wealthy people and probably didn't even notice the small two coins given by this poor widow, but God saw it. King David in Psalm 39 reminds us of the omniscience of God, the fact that God knows everything there is to know. His knowledge is absolutely total. Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I